We're talking this morning about being courageous like Caleb, and we talked about several things earlier, and we talked about the things we need to do and need to learn in order to be courageous like Caleb. We talked about standing for what is right, standing even when we are alone and in danger, standing even against those we thought were on our side, and trusting God, and seeing as God sees and not as man sees. But as we get to these latter ones, I think we're going to get into some things that are deeper even than some of those things we talked about earlier. In order to be courageous like Caleb, we need to learn to remain courageous day in and day out. Sometimes I think a lot of us are like Peter. We would have the courage in the garden to pull out the sword and fight. But then a couple hours later, when we're standing around surrounded by the enemy, we would be tempted to deny that we even know who Jesus is. I think a lot of us have that struggle that, yeah, if I could just one time, you know, if it was just one attack, I could get up the courage and I could die for Jesus. But let me tell you, the courage that he asks from most of us is not to die for him. It's to live for him. And you see, that takes a daily death to self. We've talked about in some of our other classes about the need to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. That's the kind of thing that we're talking about when we talk about remaining courageous day in and day out. But as we think about this, and we think particularly about Caleb, I want us to really realize what Caleb did. Because some of you think, oh yeah, well, you know, he believed God that they could take the land, and he stood up and he said so, and he risked death, and yeah, they were going to stone him to death, but they didn't. God stopped them, and so, well, after that, then that's it. Caleb's a hero for the rest of the story, right? Well, no, think about it. You see, one of the things that we've got to realize, we talked earlier about trusting God and how he had to wait years to experience the reception of the promise that God had made to him that he was going to get to go into that land. He had to wait for it a long time. Longer than Abraham had to wait for the promise of Isaac. We think about Abraham. Oh, Abraham was 75 years old when God promised that he was going to give him a son, and he was 100 before it happened. And how did he wait that long? That was 25 years. Caleb waited, according to Joshua chapter 14 and verses 10 and 11. He says, "Now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years." That's almost twice as long as Abraham. And you know, Abraham got impatient, didn't he? He thought God wasn't acting fast enough, so him and Sarah came up with that little plan with Hagar. Remember that? Caleb just kept waiting. 45 years. Can you imagine, ladies? If a guy, when you were, you know, 20, said, "I'm going to marry you," and then he waited 45 years to get around to asking you to get married. Can you imagine? God promised Caleb, none of these other guys are going to get to go into the land, but Caleb, because you followed me wholeheartedly, you're going to get to go in. You're just going to have to wait 45 years. That's a long time to wait. But he says, he kept me alive these 45 years. Just as the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. And I'm still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then for war and for going and for coming. You want to talk about some courage? He's 85 and he says, I'm just as ready to go to war now to conquer this land as I was when I was 40. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm 45, and I'm not as ready for war as I was when I was 40. And I can guarantee when I'm 85, I won't be as ready for it as I was when I was 40. But that's an amazing statement that he makes. But that says something about his courage too, day in and day out. I don't know, did he train with his sword and spear and shield? Did he train for 45 years waiting for the day when he was going to get to go in there and conquer this land? I don't know. But he says, I'm just as strong and ready for war as I was back then. I'm ready to conquer this land. That's amazing. But more than that, we said, well, that's a challenge, having to wait all that time. That's having to be courageous all that time, waiting all that time for God to fulfill His promise. But I want us to think about some other things here. Who was Caleb's next door neighbor? Who were the people in tents all around him for most of that 45 years while he was waiting? A lot of the people camped right next to him had been the very same people who said, let's kill him. Now, most of us have probably not had somebody seriously say, I want to kill you. I know sometimes people tease each other, oh, I'll kill you if you do that again or whatever. But most of us haven't had very many, even maybe we did have one crazy person that wanted to kill us. But most of us haven't had a whole bunch of people say, I want to kill you. And most of us, if we have had somebody say that, we don't live next door to that person. We certainly don't live surrounded by those people. For several of those 45 years, until they all died out, Caleb had to live knowing that his neighbors blamed him for having to wander around in the wilderness until they died, knowing that they had wanted to kill him 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago. They wanted to kill him. And not knowing, what are these people teaching their children about me? And he lived next to those people and was faithful to God and loved his neighbor and was good to those people for all of that time in spite of how they had treated him. Now you want to tell me that didn't take some courage? Caleb was courageous. Not just on the day when he came back from spying out the land and said we could take it, but every single day after that when he got up and left his tent and had to interact with those people day after day with the very people who wanted him dead and blamed him for their problems. That's courage. He didn't run away. He didn't move away. I don't know where he could have gone. But he stayed right there with those same people. I have a feeling that Caleb didn't get invited to very many Christmas parties. I'm actually pretty sure he never got invited to a Christmas party because they didn't have them back then. But, you know, he didn't get invited to the kids' graduations. He didn't get invited to the school plays. He didn't get invited to the ball games. He didn't get invited over for dinner. I don't think Caleb had many friends. His friend was God. And he knew that. And he depended on God. And he didn't worry about the fact that the other people around him weren't on his side anymore. Now, did some of those people perhaps repent and feel sorry for what they had done? I'm sure some of them probably did. And not all of them probably treated Caleb badly for the rest of their lives. But I'm sure there were some who did. I'm sure there were some who, when he walked by, they'd spit on the ground and say, There goes the guy that made us wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Blamed him for their own fault. But, you know, people never blame themselves. It's always somebody else's fault. Caleb was the only one left to blame. But then if we want to be courageous like Caleb, we have to take on new challenges that others won't. As if those challenges weren't enough, like we talked about during class, the hard times make you stronger. They prepared Caleb for some new challenges that he hadn't faced before. In Joshua 14, 12 through 14, the King James says, "So now give me this mountain." Other translations say, "Give me this hill country." As though it weren't not just one mountain, but an entire region of hills, of which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day how the Anakim were there. Remember, we talked about the Anakim. They were the giants. So here's Caleb, 85-year-old man. Now realize, other than Joshua, he doesn't have a peer group. The next oldest person is 65. Now you think about that for a minute. He's 85 and Joshua is around his age, and the next oldest person is 20 years younger than him. There's nobody close to his age. He is an old man. Way older than everybody else. Now, today in our society, if you're 85, there's other people that are 85. You know, if you're 80, there's other people that are 80. But in that day, in that society, he was 85, Joshua was around there, and that was it. Because God had said anyone who was over 20 when they left Egypt, remember Caleb was 40, and you give a couple of years there because it took him a couple of years traveling to get to the land. But you know, you say he was 38. Anybody that was between 20 and 38 or older is all dead. So only somebody that was 19 when they left, Caleb was 38. So maybe there's a couple of 66-year-old guys. And he's 85. Now with that in mind, and remember who the Anakim were, they were the giants that everybody was scared of when they were 40. Caleb says when he's 85, "Let me take that area of the country where all the hills are and where the giants live, and I'll take that one for mine." Can you imagine this guy? It gives me chills just thinking, how I would have loved to have been around this guy. What an amazing fellow he is. "Give me this mountain which the Lord spoke on that day. You heard in that day how the Anakim, the giants, were there with great fortified cities. Cities with walls all around them and giants in them. That's the guys I want to go pick a fight with. How about you?" Wow. I start to say, this guy is insane. No, this guy is wholeheartedly trusting God. And see, he's been doing it. He didn't just suddenly get this courage. He's been being courageous for 45 years. So this isn't, it's almost not even courage at this point anymore. This is just who he is. He can't help himself. This is who he's been for 45 years. Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron. It may be, "If the Lord will be with me, I shall drive them out, as the Lord has said." I forgot that part. I'll drive them out of there. One guy going against a city full of giants, I'll drive them out of there. You know, that's what God said to the Israelites. if you will be faithful to me, and if you will love me, and obey my commandments, one of you shall chase 1,000. And Caleb believed him. Not only did he believe him, he did it. He chased them out of there. You know, most of the other tribes never fully conquered their areas. But Caleb did. It's interesting. Numbers 13:22 says, they went up into the Negev and came to Hebron, Ahiman, Sheshash, Talmai, the descendants of Anak were there. Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. That's where he came. He says, therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord. In another place it talks about some folks that couldn't take their land because the people that lived there had iron chariots. Maybe they should have let Caleb help them. He could probably chase those fellows with the iron chariots out too. He chased the giants with the fortified cities out. Then the next thing that we want to notice is we're running out of time here, so we need to get these last few in. If we want to be like Caleb, we need to encourage courage in others. It was great that Caleb was a courageous person, but that wasn't good enough. He wanted to encourage other people to trust God, have faith in Him, wholly follow Him, and live courageously as well. In Joshua 15, verses 14 and 17, Caleb drove out 3 sons of Anak, Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai, the descendants of Anak. He drove all of them and their families out of there, all those 3 giants. And he went up from there against the inhabitants of Debir. Now the name of Debir formerly was Kiriath Sefer. Now, so he's driven out 3 of the giant families already. And he goes to this next town, and he said, now whoever will strike Kiriath Sefer and capture it, I will give Aksa, my daughter, to him as a wife. Wow. Go beat up on some giants, get a pretty wife. I'm assuming she was a desirable wife, because otherwise everybody would have said, no way, thank you very much. I mean, but Caleb's daughter, wouldn't you want to marry into that family? Wouldn't you want to be, can you imagine being thought worthy to be the son-in-law of this guy? Oh, what a, be like that guy. Look up to him, admire him, I'd love to marry his daughter. I want to be like him. What a great father-in-law he could be. And so Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, which would mean make him Caleb's nephew, captured it. And so he gave him Aksa, his daughter, as wife. But he encouraged Othniel to do that. Now later on, Othniel is going to become one of the judges. You think there's an accident there? You think it's by accident that Caleb's nephew and son-in-law was one of the people who helped lead Israel and fight against their enemies? I don't think there's any accident there at all. Caleb was raising up the next generation to follow after him. But then, if we want to be like Caleb, we're going to have to emphasize devotion over promotion. We already said that Caleb was never mentioned anywhere in the New Testament. I don't think he lost much sleep over that, because that wasn't his goal. His goal in life was to wholly follow the Lord, not to get praise and honor. And it's shown in another area. Now remember, he fought hard and killed giants to get the city of Hebron. He deserved it. He earned it. He had been promised it 45 years earlier by God. But look at what happens in Joshua 21, verses 11 and 12. They are here, they're dividing out the country and everything, and along the way, they have to give some cities from each tribe to the Levites because the Levites didn't get a land inheritance. And there needs to be Levites in each tribe because the Levites are the priests. And so they need priests to help them do their sacrifices to God. And so there's got to be priests all around the country. And so each tribe is picking some cities and saying, okay, we'll let the priests have this city and that city. Guess which city was one of the cities that the tribe of Judah, which is Caleb's tribe, gave to the Levites? You probably guessed it. They gave them Kiriath Arba, Arba being the father of Anak, that is Hebron in the hill country of Judah, along with the pasture lands around it. The fields of the cities and its villages had been given to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as his possession. Wasn't that nice of them? Yeah, we know you kicked the giants out. Oh, we're going to give your city to somebody else. Caleb didn't complain. He was devoted to God. He knew the Levites needed a place. No complaint from him about them giving his city that he had fought for, that he had conquered, and giving that city for the Levites to have a place in the land of Judah. Caleb was much more interested in being devoted to God than in, "What I fought for that, I deserve that, you can't..." and selfishness and promoting himself. You know how a lot of those folks back then, when they'd conquer a city, they'd name it after themselves. You know, you've got the city of David. You've got, you know, the city of this person. You know, or they named it after some child of theirs or something, like Caesarea Philippi in some of these places. Caleb didn't go naming the cities after himself. Now, I think there were some cities that may have been named in honor of him, but he didn't do it like some of the people did. And then the last one we want to notice is, if we're going to be courageous like Caleb, we need to be sure we never allow the physical to overcome the spiritual. Remember we read in Joshua 14:10, we didn't delve deeply into it, but we did read it. "Now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as He said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. Now behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and for coming." Unless he was a very sickly 40-year-old who somehow got really healthy later in life, I think that in actuality, from a physical standpoint, it's very unlikely that at 85 he was as strong as he was at 40. I mean, that would have to be a rare individual that actually happened with. I've never met one. Is it possible? I suppose. I've met some 80-year-old men who were stronger than I was when I was in my 20s. But I don't know how strong they were when they were younger. They probably weren't as strong as they were when they were younger, maybe. But regardless of that, he didn't allow the physical to overcome the spiritual. There's not a bit of doubt in my mind that spiritually, he was stronger that day than he was 45 years ago. He had grown in ways that most of us can't even imagine because of the trials and temptations and struggles that he had faced. The Lord was with Judah and he took possession of the hill country, but couldn't drive out the inhabitants of the plain because they had chariots of iron. The rest of the tribe, the young guys, couldn't even take out the people that lived on the flat land. Caleb went up and conquered the mountain. Maybe it was because spiritually he was stronger. Maybe it was because he was more faithful and trusted God more. Maybe he really was just as strong as he had been. But whatever the case, we know that he was more courageous than the rest of these guys. And he did what God said do. Who have you seen that was courageous like Caleb? Emulate them. Copy them. Be followers of them. When is the time you've been courageous like Caleb? How did it pay off for you to be courageous like that? What are some areas in your life you need to be more courageous? Which of the things we learned today do you need to work on the most to be courageous like Caleb? If you need the prayers of the church to help you be more courageous, if you need to come confessing some failing, some shortcoming, whatever the case may be, if you need to respond at this time, please do so as we stand and as we sing.